Well, today we start our new series, and I'm really excited about the series as we go into it. And it's a four-part series where I'm kicking off today, and then Rachel and Craig will do the two middle ones, and it culminates on Christmas Day as we finish this new series on He Will Be Called. And the series is based around Isaiah 9:6. It's a very simple verse that you've probably all heard before, but it goes, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, there's a lot of us here this morning that one way or another have been involved with parenting of a child. And parenting of a child comes with a whole lot of, I guess, scenarios and situations that nobody can ever explain to us, can they? I remember when we had our first son, and we had Callum, and the week or two before he was born, I said to Leanne, "We are not having a dummy. That is for lazy parenting. There's no way our child will ever have a dummy." And she agreed, so we decided we would not be lazy parents and our child would not have a dummy. Well, Callum was about 30 hours old, and the nurse said to us, "Do you think Callum doesn't seem to want to settle. Do you think that it'll be all right if we gave him a dummy?" I said, "I don't care what you give that child. Just make it quiet for 1 minute." So she said, "Can you go to the chemist and buy a dummy?" I said, "No dramas." I went to the chemist about 11 o'clock at night. I bought every dummy in that place. I went back with 20 dummies in a bag and I tried them all out till we found the right one. It's funny, isn't it, how parenting, but picking a name for our child as well. Well, naming a baby, that comes with its whole set of stresses as well, doesn't it? What are we going to name this child? A good family name, a bad family name, names that will last, names that will leave a legacy, a name that will reflect our child, a name that our child won't be teased over. And naming a baby fascinates me, because naming a baby, there's no rules. There's no laws to naming a baby. You can do whatever you want. You know what? You could even name your child without a vowel. You don't even need a vowel in the child's name. You could just call it F-triple-T, FIT. And there's no law against calling your child FIT. There doesn't even have to be a vowel. I can't believe there's no laws on naming a child. That's where the women came in, and they bring sense and reason to the naming of a child. But the naming of a child is important, especially in the playground. Because everyone knows a Rachel, don't we? And all those Rachels are nuts. Rachels are just crazy. If you're going on a blind date and you've got a choice of an Esmeralda or a Rachel, take the Esmeralda every time. Because those Rachels are nuts. They're crazy. And what about a good Bible name? I'm going to name my child John, because that's a good, strong Bible name. And that guarantees that my child's going to be good. Does that work for anyone? Names are a funny thing, aren't they? Names give it away. But kids are brilliant at making up cruel names, aren't they? You think you come up with a name that no one can make fun of. For example, Braden Kessinger. Bug. Braden the Moron Kessinger. See, just, kids are cruel. They make up these names very easily. Well, today we're going to take a step back in time. And we're going back about 700 years before the birth of Christ. And times are really tough at this moment. Times are rough. And Isaiah gives this prophecy of a Messiah that will come. And not only does he give us a prophecy of the Messiah, he tells us what he shall be called. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So today we're looking in our four-part series, and we're starting off with He will be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, a quick word lesson for us this morning. Wonderful Counselor. Where do those words come from? So the Wonderful Counselor, I'm now going to give you a word lesson. I'm going to teach you what words mean. Now, my mum's here today. Did you ever think, Mum, that I would be teaching people what words mean? No, I can't even believe it myself. She says no if we can't hear that. So two words comes from Hebrew words, paleioes. The two words for wonderful counselor is Peleioez. So Pele means this child is going to be a very good soccer player. No, it doesn't really mean Pele. Pele is the word that says it's beyond understanding. You can't find a word for this word. So Isaiah uses a word to describe Jesus that he could not get a word for. Too wonderful for words. Isaiah used a word to describe a word that he could not find a word for. And Yoez is translated as counselor, a counselor to advise or to guide. So Isaiah is trying to say that your Peleioez will be your wonderful counselor, your very own Peleioez. And as we sit here today, our Peleioez, our wonderful counselor, comes to us not as a fresh-faced uni graduate who's done a few subjects in counseling, but an experienced one, one who has walked in our shoes, one who has become us, our God who became his creation. He became human. He became your wonderful counselor. And I love this description in Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. And some of you this morning, well, you're coming from a position of immense pain. Jesus, your wonderful counselor, Jesus, your Peleioez, understands your pain. He understands your hurt. He has lived your life. He has experienced the highs and he's experienced the depths of the lows. He's walked the valleys of death, betrayal, physical pain. He's done it all. But for each and every one of us, in our time of need, no matter the past, there is someone promised 700 years prior to his birth that came to be your Peleioez. He came to be your wonderful counselor. And one of the parts of Jesus that I love more than anything else is that Jesus came for everyone, but he unashamedly focused on the sick. Jesus came for everyone, but unashamedly he focused on those that were sick. He came for those in need, not for those who had everything together. And a lot of the time I hear people who are quite critical of those in church because they see them as elitist, as perfect. And it's always amused me because I've always found that those in church are the ones who know that they are sick. The people in church are the ones who know that they need Jesus. We in church, at least we can be honest enough to acknowledge that we are sick and that we are in need of Jesus. And I love the story in the Bible of the tax collector. And this tax collector, well, he's having a barbecue and Jesus was coming to his barbecue on a Saturday afternoon. He was so excited he invited all his friends. And because he was a tax collector, well, tax collectors weren't terribly popular. In fact, they were social piranhas. So that the guest list on paper didn't look particularly good. And the party is big, the barbecue's great, the underworld's there, the prostitutes are there. The corrupt are there, the fraudulent are there, the scammers are there. I'm pretty sure there was even a couple there from Nigeria sending out some emails. And the religious people were upset. They were offended. Who was this joker? Who was this man named Jesus? Who does he think he is to hang out with these sorts of people? And they confronted with Jesus with anger and venom. And we read in Luke 5:31. That the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and the sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not for the righteous, but for sinners to repent." As we go into this message, I want you to remember that Jesus, our wonderful counselor, relentlessly comes for you. He relentlessly comes for the sick. I want to boast to you for a moment, just for 1 minute. I want to tell you for 1 minute how good I am for a minute. I just want to boast to you, if you can put up with this for a minute. I want to boast to you this morning. And I'm going to suggest to you that the things that I tell you I'm good at, I am better at than you are. I reckon I'm better at it than you. I'm arrogant. Sometimes I manipulate situations to suit me. When I want my way, I puff at my chest and I don't care about other people's opinions and feelings. I can be not patient. Occasionally I let out a swear word. Sorry, Mum. I enjoy being heard. I can be a selfish husband. I lose my patience with my children way too easily. Sometimes I find it difficult to love the unlovable. Some days I find myself just so angry at God. And other days I'm just out and out angry with everyone. I have huge doubts if I've really forgiven the people I think that have wronged me. I hold on to resentment sometimes just a little bit too long. Some days I feel so low I struggle just to get through the day. I understand better than anyone my weaknesses. I know my weakness. I've paid a price for my weaknesses. Believe me, I know I am sick. But I take comfort in this verse in Corinthians 12, 9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me." I will boast more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. If I can be so bold to say to you this morning that we are all sick, that we all hurt, that we all have sin in the world to deal with, we all have weaknesses, we all have vulnerabilities, we all have dysfunctions, we all have things that we hold on to as our strongholds. And when we get pressed on these, when we get pressed, we say, no, I'm fine, don't worry, I'm fine. I hate the word fine, because when Leanne uses the word fine, that's code's word for, if you don't straighten up, Buster, I'm going to stab you in the eye with a fork. We do, don't we? We use the word fine to describe everything as being okay when it's not okay. We use the word fine to describe it when it's not okay, but we think that it is. As we sit here today, I'm asking you, what are you dealing with in your life at the moment? You know, as I've said to you before several times, when I was growing up, I was a Boy Scout. And one of the most memorable things I learned about being a Boy Scout is that you cannot light a proper fire without petrol. I know that's dangerous and naughty. But you know, these holiday periods that we're going to come into, they can be like the accelerant on the fire. That as we come into the holiday periods can make good things better, but they can make bad things worse. Your sickness, your weakness this morning, that thing that you're dealing with in the holiday period, you might be dealing with depression, with fear, with stress, financial duress, loneliness, family issues, just so angry and you don't know why. Resentment, maybe forgiveness, the giving and the receiving. But don't think because you're in church this morning here that today that you have to be perfect. People that you think that people expect you to be perfect because you're in church. I'm your pastor and I'm opening up to you this morning that we are all sick. But there is good news. There is great news this morning because there is a wonderful counselor named Jesus who came for you and he came for me. He came for all who are sick. And this morning I want to look at some great biblical principles, three steps that we can use to find solace and peace in who we are. And we can find healing from our wonderful counselor. The first step this morning is that we need to be brutally honest with our wonderful counselor. Do you know, it can be out and out exhausting trying to live a life of a lie. To live a life to make everyone else happy. To keep on the outside appearance that you have everything together. That you are perfect because you are a Christian. Because you are a Christian, you have no struggles. That because I'm a Christian, it's really easy to be kind, patient, and forgiving. It's easy when I'm a Christian, or even not even a Christian, maybe I'm just a good person, but because I'm a good person, it's easy to be those kind. It's easy to forgive, it's easy to be patient. It can be out and out exhausting trying to live that life. And the reality is that when we look deep inside ourselves and we're brutally honest with our wonderful counselor, that can be some dark places, and it can be very confronting. This morning, can I encourage you this morning to be brutally honest with your wonderful counselor and yourself on exactly where you are at the moment. And I love the story in John 4 about the woman at the well. And the long story short is this lady's at the well and she's speaking to Jesus. And Jesus asks her for some water. And Jesus goes on to explain to her about the living water. And she decides that she'd like this living water. And she asks her wonderful counselor for a breakthrough. She asks her wonderful counselor for a breakthrough. And Jesus replies simply, he says, go get your husband so I can give it to both of you. Well, she's in a position here. What is she going to do? She's faced with a dilemma. But she tells the truth and she's honest with her wonderful counselor. And we read, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. This lady had a past, didn't she? She had a past, and it's not a great past. In fact, it's quite a scandalous past. A past that was sick. But because she was honest with Jesus, she was able to get her breakthrough. Because she was honest with Jesus, Jesus was able to reveal himself to her. As we're talking this morning, I'm hoping that some of you, for the first time in a very, very long time, are starting to be honest with your wonderful counselor. Some of your honesty might go along the lines of, I've prayed and prayed for something in my life, and I don't feel, God, that you've answered that prayer, and I'm starting to wonder if you're actually even there, God, in my life. Perhaps this morning, some of you need to be honest in your marriage, that things can't keep going the way they are. Some of you may be honest that you're hooked on something, something that's bigger than you, that you can't kick to the curb. Maybe it's, I have an addiction to something. Some of you need to be honest about your relationships. You know they're not good for you. Some of you may need to be honest with yourself and with your wonderful counselor how you are behaving as a parent. For some of you, you may need to be honest about the priority that Jesus takes in your life. We need to be brutally honest with our wonderful counselor. We need to be brutally honest with our Paleoes. This morning, those of you here this morning that need to be honest like the lady at the well and just simply say, Jesus, I need your help. Because you've heard me say it so many times, and I will continue to say it, that with Jesus, everything can change. This morning, enjoy the freedom of being brutally honest with your wonderful counselor. The second thing I want to talk to you about this morning is that you need to listen to the wonderful counselor. You need to listen to what he tells us. And in Mark 3, we read this wonderful story about Jesus and his three disciples. And they're on this mountain. And God decides that he is going to reveal himself to the three disciples and Jesus. And Jesus says, then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, this is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Of all the things God could have said, he said, listen to him. Now you may say, Paul, well, how does this Jesus speak? He doesn't speak in my life. I've pleaded for Jesus to speak to me. In actual fact, Jesus' silence in my life has been deafening. And I understand that. I can appreciate that. There's parts of my life where I would have agreed with you. But if you just listen, if you listen, Jesus will speak. And I think a lot of the times we don't listen to our wonderful counselor because we don't like or agree with what he is saying to us. But I can assure you that your wonderful counselor speaks. Perhaps he speaks to you this morning in this message. Perhaps he speaks to you through scripture and certain Bible verses. Perhaps Jesus speaks to you in answers in prayer. Perhaps it's devotions. Perhaps it's music. Perhaps Jesus speaks to you through circumstances that could only come from a designer. You can work on yourself to hear his voice. You can learn to recognize the voice of the wonderful counselor as you learn to listen to him. And earlier in the year, Daryl gave this beautiful imagery of a shepherd calling his sheep, and the sheep would only recognize his voice. Train yourself to listen to the wonderful counselor's voice. We read in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." You can work on yourself to hear his voice. You can learn to recognize the voice of your wonderful counselor. Excuse me. Number three, so we've been brutally honest with our wonderful counselor. We've listened to our wonderful counselor. The third thing we need to do is we need to be obedient. Would you just excuse me for a moment? Thank you. Sorry, everyone. The third step, to be obedient. This can be quite frightening because we as humans don't like the idea of submitting. We don't like being told what to do. If you tell me I need to breathe, I will hold my breath. We as humans don't like being told what to do. And sometimes we don't really understand on a supernatural level all the things that Jesus is asking us to do. Sometimes people ask us to do things and we think they're being ridiculous. We think they're being stupid. Leon and I used to have this little dog, a black poodle thing. And we were at McDonald's at Goodna and I had to go into the Repco. And Leanne said, "Can you tie the dog up and can you please do it properly?" Leanne, I'm a Boy Scout. I know how to tie a knot. You don't need to tell me how to do something properly. But lo and behold, I didn't tie it up properly. And I shoot it into Repco. And I came back 10 minutes later to see my wife coming out of the McDonald's kitchen carrying our dog, who'd been running all through the kitchen of McDonald's. Sometimes we need to listen, even though we don't like it. There's a great story of this in the Bible with a young rich man. And we read, Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Well, this young man, he was honest with Jesus. Step one, he was honest with Jesus. He listened to Jesus, but he failed to act because it was going to come at a great personal sacrifice for this young man. And I love that verse that Jesus looked on him and loved him. Jesus looked on him and loved him. Jesus did not mock him. He did not make him go away. No, he loved on him. And he knew this man's sickness. He knew of his love for material possessions. Jesus saw in him his sickness, but because he loved him, Jesus saw what was holding this man back from being the best version of himself that God wanted for him. Jesus, because he loves you, may be telling you something that you don't want to hear. I don't really know this morning what it is, but if you're honest with your wonderful counselor, I think you know what it is. Perhaps he's telling you that you need to break up with that person because the relationship's no good, but it's so safe in this relationship. Perhaps you have to make some changes financially. Perhaps that second life that you're living away from Whitehill needs to change. Perhaps there's some secret addiction problems that he's speaking to you about. Because he loves you, he wants you to get rid of it so you can have that marriage that he wants you to have. Perhaps there's some forgiveness that you need to offer this Christmas. Perhaps there's some forgiveness that you need to ask for this Christmas. Perhaps there's sin in your life that you need to remove. And Jesus has been telling you for a while, but that sin is so good. Perhaps this morning, church, I've pondered on this and I really believe in my heart of hearts I have this message for you this morning. that perhaps it's pride. Perhaps it's been your fear of being vulnerable and acknowledging your weakness. Perhaps it's the fear and the vulnerability of seeking help, to seek prayer, to seek professional help. This rich man, he was offered everything by Jesus. All the treasures in heaven. And all he had to do was sell everything and give it away. But the scriptures tell us that his face fell because he had a lot. He had direct instructions from Jesus, yet he refused. If we don't do what Jesus asks of us, we are not serious about our relationship with him. Jesus knows what is best for us, and he knows how to go about it. It's just possibly that we don't always agree. Today we've talked about our weaknesses, haven't we? We've talked about our weaknesses, our sickness, and it's okay to boast in your weakness this morning, to acknowledge that we are all sick and that we all have a wonderful counselor, and that with our wonderful counselor, that we need to, one, be brutally honest with our wonderful counselor. Two, that we need to listen to what he has to say to us. And thirdly, that we need to be obedient to our wonderful counselor. The band's going to come up now as they lead us into a time of communion. As we come together in this vulnerable state this morning, we're going to come together in a vulnerable state to worship, to stand, to raise our hands, to prostrate ourselves in front of our wonderful counselor. I really sense this morning that God is talking to us as a church to be honest, to be vulnerable with each other, to ask each other for help, that it's okay to ask for prayer, to be okay with the fact that we are sick and that we're not perfect and we don't have to pretend that we are. Let's come together now and acknowledge that our God, who became human, is an awesome God.